sense it is right. There's got to be some way to be able to fit evolution in with God's word. And so they come up with theories like the gap theory, the day-age theory, and things like that, trying to prove that the word of God sticks in with evolution. But you can't do that because evolution is a lie. It's not true. And so we're going to go over some of those theories and ideas that the world and even Christians years ago tried to kind of pound them together, trying to make the evolutionists seem like they're okay and they're correct. Where during the Scope trials, they tried to prove that evolution is the way the world was created and evolved and came into being, and they put all these theories together, and I'm going to prove those theories wrong because they're not right. And then also the truth about the Bible, that God's word is the inspired word of God. A lot of people think, well, it's just inspired when it makes you feel good. There's just parts that are inspired where others are not. Well, no, it's either all or none at all, because the word of God is the inspired word of God. Every jot and every tittle is true, and we can prove it by scripture. And so we're going to look at these things. I hope you can be here every Sunday night. Be a part of this. I'll make a booklet, and I promise, I've been working on this one because I knew this last one was a mess. But this one here, I've got it correct. It is going to fall together, and I'll double make sure. And then tonight, though, we're going to look at the last sons of Proverbs. Where's my pointer thinking to bopper? Here we go. This is the way it was supposed to be. Some of you, anybody have a book that's all filled in except for the last two? You got them all filled in but the last two? You got it. Yes. The way it's supposed to work. And here on the top is the wicked son, the way of darkness. And the first one here is the simple son on the way down. They all digress. On the righteous son, it starts at the bottom and it grows and progresses. So on the wicked son, first of all, we've got the simple son versus the prudent son. And then it's supposed to be the scorner versus the understanding, and the fool versus the wise, and the wicked versus the righteous. That's the way it was supposed to go. But when I made the booklet, when you make the booklet on Word, you have to have them all lined up and you make the booklet. Somehow, I took the booklet I made before, printed it off, and it made it a mess. It put it together all wrong. So the last one we're supposed to look at today is the wicked son versus the righteous son. So as they progress and as they grow, as they develop. So let's read here, first of all, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, that's David's son, remember? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. Because the book of Proverbs teaches us and helps us to know wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to grow wisely, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can't you see that in the world today? That people despise wisdom, they despise instruction, they despise those who lovingly try to correct them. Even they come to the point even to hate them. And you can see it in the world today. Do you see verse 7? At the first part it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So Dana, let's go back to my picture here. Where did my, there it is right there. So dead center, right in the middle, to go from the sinner or the wicked is the fear of the Lord. And then you become righteous. When you begin to fear the Lord, as scripture teaches us, and lovingly instructs us. So what we're going to do here, let me move my Bible over here to the side. And I'll bring a laptop up here and try to explain this. So tonight, we're going to look at the last two sons of Proverbs. If you have your Bible with you, we can use some reading. Let's see here. I've got something in the way that's making things fall. There we go. I think I got it now. Sorry, guys. There we go. So I'm going to drop this one down. And we're going to go to this one. The Sons of Proverbs. Whoops. Keep it in the wrong one. There we go. First of all, the wicked son. The wicked son. So we're looking at the wicked versus, what was it there? Obed versus the righteous. The wicked versus the righteous. Here we go. So the wicked son, the definition of the wicked son is the wicked son flees wisdom and instruction. He doesn't only despise it. He doesn't only hate it. He runs from it. He turns around and flees. When scripture comes up, for God so loves the world, they're gone. They're gone. No interest in listening at all. They flee. They run. They get themselves out of there. And you know, that should be the believer when it comes to sin, right? But with the unsaved, they flee from righteousness. They flee from wisdom and instruction. They flee from those who try to lovingly correct them. They flee from them. I don't know how many of you saw the news lately that during spring break, there was a teenager that was arrested and put on in handcuffs. And a friend of his opened up the police cruiser door and he took off running. He ran. He still had the handcuffs on and he ran. You know, if he just would have sat there and he would have taken the punishment, he would have been so much or far more better. But since he ran, he had so many more things happen that it could have been taken care of so easily and quickly. But instead, he fled. He ran. And of course, being in handcuffs, they caught him right away. He didn't get very far there on the sand there next to the ocean. But he ran from it. That was free. Next one, the wicked son. The wicked son, let's look at Proverbs 19:28, Proverbs 4:19, and Proverbs 5:22. Who would like to look up the first one? Proverbs 19:25, Obed. How about Proverbs 4:19? All right, that's Roger. And then Proverbs 5:22. You'll do 5:22. Okay, thanks, Susan. So Proverbs 19:28, Obed.
An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity.
Yes, so the wicked son devoureth iniquity. In other words, he eats it up. He cherishes it. He loves it. He loves the wickedness and getting into wicked thoughts, and he just devours it. He loves it. And then Proverbs 4:19.
The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble.
Yes, so he does not know at what they stumble. So the picture here is the wicked son, when he hears wisdom and instruction, he takes off running, right? So here is the wicked son. He's running along, and he is afraid of those who are behind him. So he's always looking behind him, knowing he was going to get caught. Kind of like that teenager running with handcuffs on his hands. He's running ahead, but he's looking behind, hoping the police aren't following him, and he trips over the little rock that's sitting there in front of him on the shoreline on the sand. So the reason why he trips is because he's not looking. It's because he doesn't look at where he's going. He's just running from whoever is trying to instruct him and trying to train him. That's a wicked son. He hates instruction. He runs from it. He loathes and he delights in wickedness. And then Proverbs 5:22.
And his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins.
Yes, he shall be held with the cords of his sins. And you know, you could see that, for the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bound, slaves, bound by their sin, wickedness. All right, any questions? Okay, how does the wicked son respond? How does he respond? How about Proverbs 6:18? Anybody be willing to look that one up? All right, Obed, Proverbs 12:6. And also verse 12 is there. Okay, yep. Yeah, you got the second one, Proverbs 12:6. Okay, and then Proverbs 21:29. Okay, Susan, and then one more, Proverbs 21:10. Okay, you got it? Okay, great. Proverbs 6:18.
And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief.
Yes, so the wicked son runs to mischief. He runs to trouble. It's kind of like the stubborn child who says, I am going to make my parents mad. I'm going to do everything to discourage them and get them angry. And they just run to mischief. They just run to it. It's like a magnet. Proverbs 12:6.
The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of upright shall deliver.
And yes.
In 12 it says, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit.
Yes. So the wicked son lies in wait for blood. He just lies in wait for someone to hurt, to punish, to inflict pain. The wicked son is just very, very wicked. Very wicked, runs from those who correct him. He devours wickedness. He devours sin. He runs to mischief. He waits. He just sits along. He sits by the wayside, having it all figured out just how and who he wants to hurt. And he lies in wait for them to come walking by and just do whatever they can. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to get them back worse than they got me. How about Proverbs 21:29? Susan got that one?
A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way.
Yes. So the wicked son hardens his face. You've seen that, haven't you? You try to correct a young person, and his face gets really hard, and he just despises those who instruct him, and just his face is hardened, thank you, Kevin.
I was going to say, yes. Not just sons.
So the wicked son, sons. He hardens his face. He's got that look. Some of you know how to do that, right? Some of you could probably do that. Harden his face, that look of despise and hatred and rolling their eyes and just mocking. Yes. Proverbs 21:10.
The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes.
Yes, the wicked son desires evil. I certainly hope that's not the characteristics that you have. That desire to hurt and to inflict pain and a hardened face toward the truth and devours wickedness and sin. So we want to look at the next one here. How does God judge the wicked son then? What is going to happen to them? Proverbs 10:27. Who would like to look that one up? And then Proverbs 2:22.
The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened.
Yes, so the wicked son will die young. The wicked son will die young. That is scary. That the wicked son that lives to hurt and to destroy and learns to hate that which is good and righteous and runs to mischief and wickedness, he will die young. And then Proverbs 2:22. Yes.
But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.
Yes, he will be cut off from the earth. He will be cut off from the earth. And then Proverbs 11:21.
Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteousness shall be delivered.
Yes, so the wicked son will be punished. He will be punished. P-U-N-I-S-H-E-D. He will be punished. And, you know, sometimes we think, it seems like the wicked, they seem to prosper. They seem to grow. They seem to become richer. They seem to, everything just seems to fall together in the right place. But one day, God will have the victory. One day, they will be judged. They will receive their due reward. And Scripture is clear that they will be punished. You know, we might think, oh man, I wish I could do what he's doing. No, you don't. Because one day they will be punished. And I think here I've got a spot for examples of the wicked son. Here's an example of a wicked son, and that is Shallum, S-H-A-L-L-U-M, in 2 Kings 15. 2 Kings. And oh, you know, we can think of lots of kings in the Bible. 2 Kings. You want to read it? Oh, thank you, Dana. Read it.
Sure. Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people, and slew him and reigned in his stead.
And then verse 13. And he only reigned a full month because somebody else killed him already. Yes, Shalom. Anybody think of anybody else that you can consider? Who that? Ahab. Yes, Ahab. Yep, anybody else? I'm thinking of David's son, but why can't I pull his name out? The one who... Absalom. Yes, Absalom. Anybody else?
Judas,
yep. Yes, yeah. All right, so that's what you want to do. Examples found in Scripture of a wicked son. And I'm sure you could probably think of some people today that would fit into that list too, right? But we won't mention them. But we do not. we do not want to end on a bad note, right? We want to end on a good note. So let's go ahead and look at the righteous son. The righteous son in Scripture, the definition is, the righteous son seeks wisdom and instruction. He seeks it. He longs for it. He looks for it. He hunts it down. He searches for it just as much as the wicked son loathes or devours wickedness. He seeks it. He wants to find it. He is going to pay for the wisdom. He's going to pay for the knowledge so that he could get the job done. He seeks it. He longs for it. He loves wisdom and instruction. Characteristics of a righteous son is found in Proverbs 11:23, Proverbs 12:5, Proverbs 13:5, and Proverbs 18:10. Who would be willing to read Proverbs 11:23? All right, over here, Roger. Proverbs 12:5. Okay, Obed. Proverbs 13:5. Susan. And Proverbs 18:10. Jane, my wife, will read that one. All right, Proverbs 11:23.
The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath.
Yes, so the righteous son desires only good. Desires only good. Isn't that a wonderful characteristic to have? You know, I desire good for you. I desire that the Lord will bless you and uplift you. That is the characteristic of a righteous son. Righteous. And then Proverbs 12:5.
The thoughts of the righteous are all right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit.
Yes, so the righteous son thinks only good thoughts. Thinks only good thoughts. Thinks positively. This person is interested in me. He's not going to do anything wrong. He thinks only good thoughts. And then Proverbs 13:5.
A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame.
Yes, thank you, Susan. The righteous son hates lying. He hates it. You know, lying is a characteristic that we do not want to have. Because once we get caught lying, everybody is not going to believe what we have to say. We do not want to have the characteristics of a liar. We don't want to be considered, you know, you've heard the statement, consider the source. And sometimes that's because the source has lied before. He's untrustworthy. He has lied before. You can't trust him. You can't believe what he has to say. He has a hardened heart, and you consider the source. You do not want to be caught as a liar, because once you're known as a liar, nobody's going to believe what you have to say. And that is just so hurtful. I try to tell young people, especially those in our school, don't be a liar. Don't be considered of the characteristics of lying. It's really interesting because when you see people lying, they always have to tell other people the different part of the lie. And so by the time it all gets all tied up, they can't remember which story they told to who. And, you know, that's a predicament you don't want to be in. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And it's just going to snowball and get bigger and bigger. Lying is not the way to go. You know, even though telling the truth, you might get in trouble. And literally, let's say, telling the truth, you might get a spanking. It is better to get the spanking for telling the truth than to be known as a liar. You do not want to develop the characteristics of a liar. That is the wrong way to go. And then Proverbs 18:10, Jane.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe.
Yes, the righteous son runs to the Lord. Now, isn't that the one to run to? He's my high tower. I can trust in him. I want to find wisdom and instruction. But the foolish, the wicked son, he runs from the Lord. He runs from anyone who tries to train him and instruct him in the way of the Lord. All right, any questions there? Our time's almost up, and I think we're almost done. The rewards of the righteous son. Hey, I like these rewards. I hope you do, too. Proverbs 10:28 and Proverbs 10:30 and then Proverbs 11, verses 8 and also 21. Proverbs 10:28. Okay, Obed. And you might as well get verse 32, okay, Obed? And then Proverbs 11:8. Okay, over there, Melanie.
The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth.
All right, so the hope of the righteous son is gladness. How many of you like to be glad? Like to rejoice? And then the righteous son will never be removed, never be rewarded. He will have his reward. He will complete the run, the race, faithfully. And then Proverbs 11:8.
The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. And then 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered.
Yes, Proverbs 11, verse 8, he will be delivered out of trouble. Another proof text of the pre-trib rapture, that we will not endure, will not go through. We're going to be delivered out of. It doesn't say that you're going to be delivered from. It doesn't say you're going to be delivered through. It says you're going to be delivered out of. We're not going to go through the tribulation, another proof text for the pre-trib rapture. Then the rewards of the righteous son. Here we go. All right, 4, 5, and 6. Got three more. Proverbs 11:28. Got that one, Susan? And then Proverbs 13:20, what? Yeah, let's just do 11, verse 28. And then Proverbs 13:21. Okay, Roger. And then Proverbs 14:32. Obed's got it. All right, Proverbs 11:28. Susan.
He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteousness shall flourish as a branch.
Yes, he shall flourish and yield fruit. Yield fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, that's the fruit I want to bear. The fruit of the righteous son. And then the righteous son shall be, in Proverbs 13:21.
Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid.
The righteous son shall be rewarded. He shall be rewarded. And that's pretty exciting when you think of the crowns at the end of life, the rewards that we will receive, that when we're faithful, we're living for him, we're born again, we know Christ is our Savior, at the end during the judgment seat of Christ. And this brings out a lot, because when you think of the judgment seat of Christ, you think of the word judgment, and judgment doesn't always fit so well in the English language. We think, you mean God's going to judge me? But actually, it refers to the Bema seat. It is a seat of rewards. It's not that we're going to, it's not, and you know, some people think what God's going to do at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to put up our whole life on a big screen, and everybody's going to see all the wickedness we've done. And we think, oh man, I don't want to go through the judgment seat of Christ. Oh man, but no, it's a place of rewards, that we're going to be rewarded for the things that we have done and receive those rewards. And as we consider those rewards, and I gave reference to the fact, I think the tears in heaven are going to be because of the rewards that we miss out on. As we look at our life and how we lived our life, and we think, man, if I just would have done that, if I just would have done that, if I would have taken another step that way, you know, I could have gotten more rewards. I think the tears in heaven are going to be for the lack of rewards and not for the revelation of our sin. Because that's not what the judgment seat of Christ is. It's a Bema seat. A place of rewards, a place where we will be rewarded at the end. And then Proverbs 14:32.
The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death.
Yes, the righteous son has hope in death. Wow! Isn't that powerful? You know, the world around us is fearful of death. Because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know where they're going to go. But the righteous son has hope. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is spending eternity with him. That death is not the end. Death is the beginning. It's the beginning of all eternity. Isn't that exciting? But the wicked son, he has no hope. He has no peace. He runs from wisdom and instruction. He runs from the Lord. But the righteous son runs to the Lord. And that's where I want to go. And I hope that's where you want to be as well. All right, next, the warning. The warning is this. In Proverbs 25:26, who would be willing to read that? Obed.
A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain. Troubled fountain and a corrupt spring.
Yep. So a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. That when we as a believer, as a Christian, we're not going to lose our salvation. But because of our unfaithfulness, because of our sin, we're going to be like a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Not missing out on those rewards that we could have had. This is a warning found in the book of Proverbs. Solomon was a very wise man as the Holy Spirit used him to pen the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the way of change. Can anybody think of a righteous son in the book of Proverbs or in Scripture? Yes. Jesus. Oh, yes. You could put him on all of those, can't you? Yes. Anybody else?
Abel.
Oh, yes. Abel. Yep.
Enoch.
Enoch. Yes. Yep. Anybody else? Oh, yes. Elijah and Elisha. Yes. Yep. David. Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abraham, yep. Did anybody say Noah? Yep, Noah. Yep. So you could write some of them, one of them, all of them. It doesn't matter. They're wonderful examples. And I hope that this study has been informative and encouraging. I know a number of people kind of missed a few of them. And then the pastor, he had to mess up that book. Oh, my. I feel so bad. I wish it would have caught it. Because the first lesson we did was correct. The first one was right. And then the rest of them just got all messed up. It's my fault. I'll have to rework that and get that a little bit better. So I hope that you enjoyed this study. I pray each one of us will have a desire to have the characteristics of a righteous son. That we will have a desire and we'll see. And this is a neat study because even as a believer, we can sometimes have the characteristics of a simple son. Or even a scorner or a fool or a wicked son. And we can think, hey, I don't want to do that. That's not the route I want to go. I need to change my thinking. I need to change my thoughts. I need to change my ways because I want to live in the fear of the Lord, trusting in Him. All right, any comments or remarks? Yes, Obed. Yes. 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 Yep. That's where I put it. It would be a believer because it's talking about a warning for a righteous son, a warning that when they're not living for the Lord and they've slipped, they've backslid in, it's like a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Yes, you're right, Obed. Okay, let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Hope to see you on Wednesday night as we study God's word and pray together. And then, of course, next Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at The Truth Explained. Powerful study. I've had a burden that, so often we see young people growing up in our churches, and then after they leave home and they go off to college, they never come back to church. And I have a burden for that and want to do something to encourage them that, hey, you know, the Word of God is true. What you've studied in the Word of God and about Christ and about Jesus and about creation, it's all true. And I want to put it into a book that cements it, that you can observe it and see that, hey, this isn't just what mom and dad believes. This is what I believe too. Because many times young people, they leave home knowing, hey, I know what mom and dad believes, but it's not what I believe. And I want to make it where it's what they believe, what they understand, and they have the convictions for it. It's not just mom and dad's, it's their own. So I want to go through this study. I hope it'll be a help and a challenge to you. I hope you can be at each one of the sessions and take part in The Truth Explained. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today. And for Solomon, who you used to pin the words of Proverbs, that we can grow spiritually and learn to live a life of a righteous son. That we will not bear the characteristics of a fool or a wicked son, but that we'll learn to love you and learn to run to you as a high tower when we're struggling and going through difficult situations. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Dismiss us with your blessings, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.